Muchas gracias, presidente.
Thank you very much, Chairman, and my thanks to all delegations which have participated and who have come this morning. I won't repeat what my colleagues have said. I just wanted to stress something. I might be about to play devil's advocate here, but I'd like to come back to what my colleague Mr. Arena said in terms of how can countries which believe they don't have problems with enforced disappearance, how can they be led to believe that they do have them? It's not only just the point of a crime against humanity, but enforced disappearances individually are considered under the convention, but you also have what's covered by Article 3 of the convention. Namely, there are new forms of this phenomenon. The way it's done is changing. Vic, you might have a universal jurisdiction in the sense that you might have victims which of enforced disappearance in one jurisdiction. You've also got the phenomenon of asylum, migration, all these factors which come into play and which are interlinked when it comes to enforced disappearance. So, and this is the devil's advocate part. You've got some people saying that many countries are participating in building international solidarity in countries where this doesn't exist. But that's not the case. It's a global phenomenon. It's a global problem. So we have to work globally together. We can all see the problem in other countries. Then just because it's happening in to our neighbor doesn't mean it's not going to happen to us, whether we've ratified or not. So I think that that's something that's very important that we do need to bear in mind. And we are here, of course, to develop a discourse. While the convention isn't universalized, then this will continue to occur. And the convention has three main points, combating, prevention, and reparation. And we are all looking at it from different points of view, but we're all seeking to address the same issues, namely enforced